Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today I'm proud to bring you mages, sages, and seers with Serpentis Satori. Greetings and welcome, Satori. How are you?
All right. Dealing with the Trump cards.
Okay.
But that's a major joke among those of us who used to be fortune tellers.
So do you think there'll be a cardboard version of these cards? And will they be used as oracle decks?
I should send you that. Someone at Salon already did that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. That was my humor the Friday night. Friday night was the whole joke about the Trump deck.
Are they $99 a card like the electronic deck, or?
Well, I mean, you can just print it from Salon, or you can print it from another source and have those cards.
Oh.
And if you were afraid of someone doing the hoodoo on you, you would know better.
I think I'll pass on Trump.
But today we're supposed to talk about what do I drink when I'm dead, because we are dealing with a few friends who have past spouses who are still kind of around.
Mm-hmm.
And my past genetic mother is around because she chooses to be. And that's cool. She and I understand each other about that.
Uh-huh.
But the whole idea is the reverse ancestor altar is if I go today, what do you do for me? When you want to call me when I'm not around anymore, what do I still get? How do you call me when I'm... When you can't use your cell phone, how do you call me?
In my experience, and again, my experiences seem to be rather atypical, there's always been communication between those who have passed and those who are here if they want the communication to happen. And the difficult part is in discerning if what you're communicating with is actually the person that has left.
But it's always a problem with non-discernment. If you don't have good wards, you're not really sure who you're talking to.
Right. But I know my aunt is around because she used to, when she was alive, she used to poke me on the shoulder with her finger if she wanted to say something that she considered to be of import. So whenever I feel a tapping there on my shoulder, my initial assumption is it's my aunt. And then, you know, I ask, hi, how you doing? You know, you have something to tell me. And I just wait receptively for what comes into my head. And as with humans who give me information, I weigh it, I consider it. But ultimately, the actions I take are my responsibility. So, you know, sometimes I'll take the advice, sometimes I'll disregard it. But I'm always grateful for it.
In the same way that a couple of Christmases ago, I had an issue with the brunettes in my life getting tarot readings on a train from a pretty redhead and them not understanding what the dream meant. I'm like, oh, no, that's my mother. That's Lady Jessica. That's Lady Jessica. What was your tarot reading?
So how does one contact you when you're no longer here?
They buy you a drink, just like
okay.
They contact you when you're at the bar. And because of what you told me a couple of Sundays ago about like how you like Kircher, that's really interesting because those of us in the Hercules cult in New Orleans always used to buy Hercules Purple Haze, which is also berry flavored wheat.
yeah, I can't have wheat anymore. I'm diabetic. So I would need to find other beverages to be called by if someone wants to call me. But why would they need a beverage to call me?
You usually need a beverage to call a spirit because you usually need the alcohol to make them pay attention. Like you usually need the song so they know who they're talking to. Like if my grandfather's favorite song was something from the 30s, I would play his song and make his martini if I wanted to talk to him.
Okay.
In the same way with your grandmother or anyone's grandmother, if they like tea and biscuits, they like tea and biscuits. But usually with the spirit world, you're better off with alcohol because of the mechanics of it all. That alcohol works a little bit better with the spirit world. And spirits, whatever they're dealing with in the world of shadows, they prefer the stiff drink.
Wouldn't you attract, though, spirits who were addicted to alcohol in life? And this would be
not if you have grandma's ring or grandma's photograph or whatever.
Okay.
Because the whole idea of ancestor, well, because we don't do it the Roman way anymore, you could attract those spirits, but that's part of realizing when you're not talking to the right spirit. Because grandma would know what she got you for Christmas when you were six.
There seems to be a pool of information that discarnates creatures that were never born can draw from, though, that's kind of floating around in shadow. So a lot of times you can get startlingly accurate information from the entities living there. And it's still, like, for instance, this is going to seem like a silly example, but when we lived in Pennsylvania in the mountains, we had a ghost cat in our house. So we had living cats as well, but there was one cat that was a ghost cat. It looked Siamese, and people could see it. When they come visiting, they would ask about the Siamese cat and why they never see it downstairs. And it's like, well, you know, it's not a living cat. And it took me 2 years to even conclude that it was actually a cat because it could have been anything. And then one of our cats got pregnant, and this cat who was a ghost incarnated. And as a kitten, she never behaved like a kitten. When I call her ghost, which is what I called her when she was a ghost, she'd start trying to make her way toward me before she'd learn how to walk. And we still have ghosts. There's living proof that things from the unseen incarnate into the scene. And she's our only cat right now. But it took me 2 years, and I have a lifetime full of such experiences to really feel comfortable with the idea that she was a cat and nothing, you know, else. And with human discarnates also, and then things masquerading as humans, you know, many times they'll give you an identifying smell.
That's not as common as New Agers think it is,
mm-hmm.
especially if you use enough sympathy. If you use grandma's teacup and grandma's photo, it's grandma.
Okay.
They're overreacting to that because it's based on fear. In the same way, when my mother's shadow came back last Christmas, all of the women in my life had dreams about tarot readings on a train, on an old, old train. And they all describe her the same way, and she's even wearing pretty much the same clothes. And so I have to explain to them my mother is not so much Lily Potter as she is Lady Jessica, and my redhead mother is a dangerous witch, And my mother is giving you a tarot reading because my mother is trying to figure out your motivation.
Is trying to what? Your
even
motivation?
Though she's dead. Even though she's dead, she's trying to give... It's her shade. She's moved on. I don't know where her shade is. Her soul has moved on to wherever that is. But your shade never leaves. And her shade was trying to select the women in my life, make them all get readings from her and me the same Christmas. I think that's the truth. I think my mother wanted to get tarot readings from them, and I think I was forced to give them to them too, so I could understand everyone's motivation in the play going forward.
Now, you use the term shade, and you also just spoke about the part of your mother having moved on, her soul or her spirit or, you know, whatever people want to call those
soul.
Different people.
So spirit is, now we're getting into the weird linguistic stuff.
Yes.
We covered this in the heart judgment thing. You are not a ghost if you've been judged. If you've been judged, you've moved on to heaven or hell. But there is still a part of you in the world that's your shadow. And that will always be here. And you can always talk to someone else's shadow if you know how to talk to them. If you know what they drink when they're dead. If I know Orson Welles wants a martini, I can buy Orson Welles a martini.
But the shades can be easily manipulated or pickpocketed for their information by things that aren't shades.
I don't think that's as true as some people think it is. I think it's back to the beginning of the seventh Harry Potter movie about, like, but who's your sixth grade girlfriend? What's your favorite subject in third grade? I think a shade who is an ancestor has kept an eye on you. And so they are not going to be fooled. If I'm more into Marvel than Star Wars, obviously I'm not me if I'm more into Marvel than Star Wars, because obviously I'm a fake. Like if I use the wrong tarot deck, it's obviously not me. And anyone would know this who knows me, because that's obvious. And I just think that's another fear factor.
I don't think it's so much a fear factor as a caution factor. It's kind of like identity.
Well, you always need to double check with spirits.
Uh-huh.
There's a thing about, like, I lit my mother's candle because my mother and I decided to continue things for a while longer than we had originally intended in Halloween. Because my mother wants to have a better idea about what's going on with Hercules Invictus and everything. Because in the 60s, she wanted to do this. In the 60s, she was trying to make this happen. So she wants to see what happens. And I know it's my mother because my mother can talk to me in ways that are just between us. But I think the demons and false spirits thing is a result of people who do not banish. If you do not banish and you do not purify, you're dealing with whatever. And that's not necessarily Ouija boards, that's just generally.
Well, I believe
because I think
communicate with folks who've passed on. It's been happening again throughout my entire life. So I firmly believe in the possibility. But we have tricksters in the incarnate state. You know, there are like, also, especially now with the information age, there are all sorts of scammers pretending to be this and that to get your information. And there are parasitic beings in the shadow. There are also beings in the shadow that will feed your obsessions things like that. When I used to actively investigate hauntings, when people used to call me and I would check out their place of residence, oftentimes, you know, if I was staying overnight and just sensing what was there, there'd be like something that tried to encourage like almost suicidal thoughts. And I knew that I'm not suicidal, so I wasn't thinking these thoughts, but there was something there pushing these, or other thoughts too. They would focus on something else. And the difference between our thoughts and their thoughts too is our thoughts tend to cycle like somebody channel surfing and pressing different buttons. We get all sorts of thoughts cycling through. These were very fixed thoughts and didn't cycle into other things, you know.
Well,
so
again, supernatural is the best guide for people who don't understand reality. Because supernatural really does understand ghosts and angels and vampires. For everything that show doesn't get right, it gets right the important things.
Uh-huh.
It gets right spirits and ghosts. I mean, there's that whole weird episode about the multiple ghosts that if the people listening to this haven't seen that, you should see that episode about supernatural and the multiple ghosts, because that episode is not what you think it is. And that, again, makes you question who are the dead and what can they do? Yes, you can be deceived by the dead and by the ancestors, but
and by the living,
because there are so many safe. No, but there are so many safety systems based on your culture. That's very difficult. It's very difficult for Azathoth to say he's your grandmother. Because your grandmother liked her tea and liked her crumpets, and you're just giving grandmother her tea and saying, "Hey, grandma, what's up? I know you're dead, but I want to talk to you about my girlfriend." See, you're laughing, but that's the normal situation. The normal situation is you're not here to tell me what I should do, but I still want to ask. And even though you've passed, I still want your opinion, even though you've passed.
Right. I had a synchronicity, as you spoke today on the show, because I had a dream last night with a train and somebody doing tarot readings. I don't remember.
So how did your tarot reading go with Lady Jessica?
I don't remember. There was a lot going on. I remember that. It was a train and there was somebody doing tarot readings.
It's an old train. It's like a 30s train.
Yeah, that I can't remember the detail. It was in a train, and so you're telling me this when you didn't know that I had this dream. That's a confirmation to me that okay, that was something. I got my confirmation that way, and I get my confirmation through synchronistic type of events. But on Facebook, a friend that I have, a Facebook friend who sends me articles and things happening in the world of supernatural, started sending me scamming stuff. So her account's been hacked, because normally she wouldn't send me scammy stuff. So when I get those messages for her, I don't know if it's her unless she's sending me like the things she normally sends me. If it's anything else, I don't trust it. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm not paranoid about discarnates, you know, messing with my head or because again,
a year ago I have all the women in my life who are trying to be my second wife. They all have dreams about being on the train, and while they're on the train, they buy a redhead a martini. And the redhead they buy a martini to,
yes, she
gives them a tarot reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to explain to all of them, my mother is not Lily Potter. My mother is Lady Jessica. My mother is a redhead, and yes, she's Lady Jessica. You have to deal with the fact that my mother is Lady Jessica, but that's who she is. And when they all deal with that, they're like, I thought you were. Like, no, my mother is dead, so my dead mother is still not sure about you. So you have this dream. Because my mother is in the realm of shadows, and in the realm of shadows, tarot reading is more accurate. Don't worry about that. That's a separate issue. And one of the girls completely freaks out about, like, my dead mother gave her tarot reading. Like, but I've told you the truth otherwise. My dead mother just gave you a tarot reading. How'd it go?
Yeah, I don't remember the details. I remember the red hair, but I don't remember any other details beyond that. So I personally don't know how my reading went, but I did have that dream.
Yeah, well, a lot of people had it a year ago, right around this time, because my mother was checking up on my girlfriends to see, like, throw the cards, show me what happens, do it. Like, you can't make me do this. Yes I can, do it. Shuffle the cards, take your reading, take your.
Well, I guess,
and then one of
she wanted to do the Invictus thing, and I'm carrying it on in this generation.
But what you're doing is exactly what my mother tried to do in the 60s. My mother was trying to do the same goal. She just had a very different understanding of what the goal was. And a year ago, the women in my life all have to deal with the train ride with my mother and deal with, your mother's hard. Yeah, so am I. You prefer to think of me as kind Harry Potter. You don't see the Hakonan. You don't see Lady Jessica in me. But it's there. And it's interesting. This year, the Slytherin women have seen it. Like, no, but that's who you really are. You really are this. You just are nice because you are. But the real issue is, I give my mother her due when she's hanging around like she is right now, watching us record.
Mm-hmm.
Because if things had been different, I I'm still my mother's son. I'm just my adopted mother's son. And she and I just talked about that a minute ago. About I, even though I was raised by League of Women Voter Hobbits, I believe League of Women Voter Hobbit things. I believe democracy is the most important thing. And if we all valued cheer and friendship more than gold, the world would be a better place. I believe what my mother taught me, even if my mother was a hobbit. And I have always believed that. And I think that's what we need most of all right now.
Those are good things to believe.
It's an interesting truth. It's an interesting truth that has led to some very interesting choices throughout my life.
Now,
because I believe in that and not Valhalla, that's a very interesting choice.
Now, the tradition I was raised into, the Greek tradition, it had a lot of honoring of folks who passed on. This was primarily through mementos and celebrations and things like that, and rituals done at the Greek Orthodox Church. And, you know, there were a variety of things that people did. And now that I'm in my 60s and life has kind of come full circle, and I went past the illusion that you can surpass all of your initial programming. You really can't. And I tried really, really hard.
No, it is no bother with that. Because my Irish witch friend tried to tell me at some point that she saw me as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde between my French side and my Irish side.
Uh-huh.
But she always thought my French side was my evil side.
Hmm.
That the French are the Slytherin. No, but continue.
That's very interesting. I never thought.
That's very interesting, especially from her.
I never thought of nationalities as being a positive or negative in that particular way.
It depends what you believe is good and evil, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess it does.
I guess that goes to D&D and honor codes, that
mm-hmm.
different cultures have different honor codes. That we Greeks have Greeks and Irish pretty much have the same honor code, mostly.
I guess you could say that.
But everybody else doesn't believe what we believe. And so that causes issues. Because that's what she's saying.
Now, the shadow is a reality. Anyone who's worked with the invisible in any way, you know, will...
Well, in Greek, it's Erebus. We've already had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In Egyptian, that's the Kabbat. That when we start separating the soul, there is a part of the soul that is not the body and not the heart.
Right.
And so that becomes the shadow. And so the shadow is the part of you that will endure.
But only part of you that will endure. It's just a part. It's not your totality.
Yeah, but it knows everything you know when you die.
Right, but it's still a part.
In the same way we make people into saints, it's the same mechanism.
That's a very interesting insight. These are some of the thoughts I've been tackling lately too, and the invisible has provided me with dreams, meditation insights, and books to explore this. But I'm currently exploring the shadow in great detail, and fortunately, I've collected quite a wide library of such books and DVDs and tapes, and there are plenty of videos online as well. But I've been really studying the shadow now that I'm reintegrating into my ancestral pool. And it's given me a better understanding of the stuff that was always there that I grew up with.
But that's part of the shadow. Part of the shadow is...
Right.
Tribal and ancestral. And although that is bad words right now, it's important to understand where we came from, because those are the unknown ancestors. It's important to understand why, if you are Black in America, why your ancestors came over on those ships. If you're Irish in America, it's important to understand Black 47. Because you wouldn't be here otherwise. And that's the truth. And those who came before, your shadows, your ancestors, know that. Because they were on the ship. Your ancestors, like most Greeks in America, wouldn't be here if there weren't all the crazy shit that happened in Greece.
Right.
That you and George Stephanopoulos wouldn't be here if Greece had been sane in the 20s. Because you wouldn't be here. Like, I wouldn't be here if there weren't a Black 47. If the famine had never happened, whoever would be me would not be me.
Right.
And that's part of what honoring our ancestors is. Part of honoring our ancestors is I am where I am because you got on that boat.
Correct.
And just as traumatic as it was for you Greeks, it was just as traumatic for us Irish in Black 47.
Part of the lesson of being Greek is that Greeks retain a lot of their lands in Greece because, and it's been said to me since I was a small child, you never know what's going to happen in this country. Because we remember what happened in Germany. Everything was sane and all of a sudden it became crazy. So you need a place to return to if the place you move to becomes crazy.
But I think the Irish decided that was either Boston or New Orleans in America. I think there's a split with the Irish in America between which city is home. And that causes a completely different set of problems with the millennium.
Well, Greeks also believe that they are sea carriers of Hellenismos, not what Hellenismos has come to mean today, but the Greek culture, and that's indoctrinated us into us in a variety of ways, you know, through parochial school, through growing up and family dynamic. So you're part of this wave or this current that has moved throughout history, and it influences culture in a mostly positive way.
Well, it's always been the point. But the point is, getting everyone off of Facebook and social media to listen. But I guess those are all on fire now. I guess none of that matters.
Why doesn't it matter?
The burning empire isn't an empire. It's burning. The empire can't send stormtroopers if they're burning. Now I sound like Lupin.
You sound like what?
Lupin. From Andor.
Oh, I haven't seen Andor. Okay. I'm saying that there's a reference here I'm not catching. Well,
you should see that.
Those things exist because we're living through those things, and some of them are prophetic. Star Wars certainly was very prophetic in very many
ways.
That
was definitely prophetic. That's what we need to talk about when we're done on the show. Because I have some very interesting theories about that.
Okay.
But that show, more than others, made some very interesting ripples. And if you worship Hecate and light a candle every Wednesday to watch Star Wars, that would sort of be a ritual, right?
Yes,
the Star Wars is, well, the Star Wars is part of the offering, like the steak and the Bordeaux. Right?
That could be said.
I just did.
Yes, you did.
I would just think that if you were trying to move things between realities and that show says what it needs to say and it makes all of the powerful witches uncomfortable the way it made us all uncomfortable. That's an interesting lesson. Because that's a lesson.
Well, entertainment has always been a lesson. It's a mirror of our minds, especially our minds as they currently are. And whatever pop cultural thing you tap into or that speaks to you, that's going to affect your reality profoundly, you know, where your resonances are. And if you guide yourself by your resonances, you'll get the information. It seems to be like what the whole biocomputer of mind is all about. So, yeah, pop culture is phenomenally powerful. It's where myths live.
And a lot of people need to think about that right now. Because a lot of people aren't seeing what's going on around them, especially with Donald Trump making his own tarot cards. Because I, of all people, am... I don't even know what to say about that. I tried so hard for this morning to know what I wanted to say about that, but I'm not happy with any of it.
He's declared himself the chosen one publicly. That's on tape. And he has been hailed as the Messiah of America by certain evangelical groups. And there's a few books on it at this particular point in time and tons of YouTube videos either denouncing or extolling this point of view.
But I'm going to say out loud what I said to you, that King Samuel had the same thing happen. It's in the Bible. Samuel is declared king, but there's David. Samuel is absolute ruler, but there's David. And all of that doesn't work out well for Samuel, even though Yahweh God.
Are you talking about
Samuel?
Saul?
He's
Samuel was the prophet, I think. Saul was the king, I believe. I'm not up on my biblical.
No, there's a TV show about it.
Oh, the TV show. Okay.
It was on NBC a million years ago.
Okay. I didn't see it, so.
But it's the thing about how Yahweh, unlike our Greek gods, tends to use you and throw you away. Trump and Yahweh made Trump president. Maybe Yahweh knew about the Trump cards? Maybe? I am not yet at the point where I can be affirmative about that. So the Trump cards are something I'm still a little weirded out about. And anyone who's been a professional tarot reader is a bit weirded out about.
Well, he's putting himself in the iconography enough should be disturbing because what he's claiming through the iconography, this is done, I believe it's a license deal. It's done by somebody else. But the fact that he's endorsing and promoting it is again, very disturbing. And how he prefaced this with America needs a superhero. And how
superhero.
He by
how
but
you're the superhero, Hercules, not him. It's you.
It's all of us. If we tap
it's
into
you.
Our
It's
self.
Not him. It's you, Supes.
Well, a lot of people are tapped into the solar energies and are anchoring them here. All of us are living, breathing archetypes. So this story will play itself out. I don't know how it's going to end up, but this story is happening right now and some of us can see it.
And I'm going to footnote myself by saying, I know you're out there, Rachel. It's Nightwing. I only called him out on Supes because you said so. Got it? Sorry about that. In-universe DC stuff.
Well, there's a lot going on with Superman in DC right now.
No, but Cavill's going to take over Warhammer, and that probably is going to be good.
Is there Warhammer?
I'm not upset about that. Warhammer 40K.
Is that used to be a game? Is it now a show or a movie or?
There's a cartoon that was done by the guy who did Eon Flux, Peter Krung. Peter Krung did I've only seen like a couple episodes of it, but it's Peter Krung, so it's good. And I guess when Cavill was arguing with Gunn, he was talking about moving to something else. And I guess what he's going to do is Amazon Warhammer.
Oh, wow.
And I think, yeah, bro, exactly. Oh, wow. Cavill is Warhammer. That's cool. That's way cool. Because most Americans don't know what that is.
DC is, from the latest information, this changes all the time. It's been changing continuously. But it seems right now, connecting the dots, that they're going to reboot everything.
Yes.
And it just going to tell the story.
It seems like we're heading more toward Young Justice. But I don't know that yet. Don't know that yet.
There's some of the old DC stuff that I resonate with. I resonated with some of the Arrowverse. I resonate with the Titans and with Doom Patrol. And
I totally resonate with both live action shows. And I've had the girlfriend who started this conversation is Donna Troy from the live-action Titans. Because she and I have that thing. Because we do. Well, no, when she saw that and when she realized my landlord calls my place the Batcave, that was a little hard for her at first. You live in a Batcave and new Rachel. Like, yeah, and new Rachel.
So there's a lot going on.
Always. Such is the world of magic. Always in motion is the future, says Yoda.
We're starting on the channel a show called Witchcraft and Theurgy. And this is just the first step in establishing dialogue with varying spiritualities. I'm going to be starting one with the cosmic spiritualities next. That's in the making. We're going to have shows and panels that just focus on these topics, and there will be one for witchcraft and theurgy in the not too distant future. So if you have any witches you know who'd like to discuss this topic or explore this topic, Brandy Williams, who is very well known in the magical community, she's going to be hosting it.
I'll pass that along.
And we haven't decided.
Part of the thing has always been living in the world of shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the thing is that the people who are the Llewellyn authors understand what they understand, but they don't understand the truth.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. I enjoy.
The owner of the best magic shop in New Orleans said that. So I'm paraphrasing her.
Yeah, I'm going to be a Llewellyn author.
That there is always a problem right now until we have temples, until we have clergy, with letting people who have books tell us the truth. Because she's right. And I used to work at Reverend Zombies. I agree with her. Just because you have more books than me doesn't mean you know more truth. It means you've sold more books. But that's Stephen King and Clive Barker, right?
I don't agree with you on that one. I think that the Llewellyn has been a light, a beacon in the darkness of ignorance. Although I don't agree with everything everybody writes, but that's true of everything anybody writes anywhere, even with holy and sacred and magical texts. You know my gripes with the Arbitel, for instance. So... this information has to get out there in a way that is culturally acceptable, and that's a difficult thing to do. And Llewellyn, I believe, has done it admirably, and they've become a world brand where people can start exploring. The information, the basic information.
I need to send you something. One of my. Because I was forcibly made an elder 3 years ago, against my will, but the girls I was forcibly made an elder of are cool girls. I need to send you what one of them said about Wicca a few weeks ago. you need to understand there are problems with that. There are problems with misinformation, especially in witchcraft. And I think I am being empowered to be the man who says that, because I think the women are women. And I think they don't want to deal with the backlash of telling the truth. But because of who I am, I can't. But I should send you what Hearthwitch said 2 weeks ago, because she deals with this. She's angry about this, and she's right to be angry.
I will, of course, as with any other information, I will respectfully and thankfully receive it. I will review it. I will consider it. And then I have to fit it into my own jigsaw puzzle to see how well it fits in. I'm not a witch. I know very many witches, but I'm not a witch. I don't consider myself one. Again, I know enough about it by my explorations and through my journey. At this point, I'm not moderating or hosting any of the witchcraft-related shows unless there are interviews. Because again, I'm woefully ignorant on the topic.
What you do is very, very different, and that's fine. But it's important to understand that there's a wall there, and that you don't understand.
Right.
Because that's what...
Now go ahead. We have a few more minutes.
Because I have had to go so deep into the swamp over the past 4 years, I have a better idea of what the frogs and the fish are in this swamp. And I am taking the side with the girls who know better. Even if I don't agree with them about every single thing, they know better. And my respect for them, again, comes to honor score in D&D. I respect them.
I'm glad that there's respect, and you know much more of these things than I do. So, again, you're an authoritative voice. It seems that witchcraft is being redefined again in our modern age.
That is actually the problem that caused all of this. That's another topic.
A topic for another day. We have 4 minutes left, so starting that. Okay, so this has been a very interesting conversation. Again, a lot of material to absorb, a lot of material to meditate upon. The world of shadow is real, and shades, although they do retain a big chunk of who you are.
They retain everything. They know everything. They know everything you know until you pass. They know everything.
Right, but there are parts of them that are no longer there anymore. So they're just they're a fraction of who we are.
Because they're the spirit, not the soul.
Part of us move elsewhere. They move into different realms.
That's the soul. The soul is judged. We talked about that before.
Right. I don't know if there's my particular beliefs. There is a judgment, but it's not the judgment that we know through mythology. The Greek system is kind of messed up. It's Hades still, under different administrations. So it depends on which administration is in charge of the underworld. What type of experiences again in Hades? They never changed the underworld. So it's still Hades, and in Greek mythology, places and people are kind of like the same thing when you get to a certain level of being. So what happened before isn't happening now, but it's changing again. And in the Greek belief too, the shades eventually merge into something. The forgiven, they're called.
Right.
So
eventually, there's only one side of the river.
And the individual people's names live on through birth names, where you honor the generation before. And there's all sorts of rules that aren't hard and fast rules, but are guidelines for naming children, and they carry on the memory of the name and the legacy of the name from generation to generation. And then the actual people, they're forgotten because there's nobody alive that knew them. So they move into the general pool of ancestors that are there. So that's the difference in the Greek belief, is that what you're identifying as the shades are active as long as people remember them.
Shades are active forever. Shades are part of the world.
Okay, not going to argue this in our last minute.
That's what Erebus means, doesn't it?
Yeah, Erebus is on both sides of the river, the River Styx. You have Erebus
right,
here.
Right, but Erebus is a kingdom of shadows because we can't get rid of them and we can't please them.
Right, Erebus
we're
is
stuck.
The queen place. It's
right.
For those who haven't passed by. It's for those. We have 90 seconds. To be continued, we'll do a part two of this episode. I'm enjoying this. This is very stimulating. Thank you, Satori, once again for an awesome conversation. And I look forward to our next one, whether it be on or off the air.
Okay. Talk to you in a minute.
Be well, my friend. Take care.